get excited about is revelation through the Word of God. When somebody shows me something about my God that I hadn't seen before, that gets me. We can all shout and not have anything going for us, you know, but when we have a greater in-depth. About 7-8 years ago, I was invited to preach at a Baptist church. And I preached a simple message on who is God. I mean, these people almost did flips because they were so excited about what they were hearing, because they had never heard about the oneness of God. You've heard it over and over and over again, but don't allow that to cause us to become complacent to the incredible revelation of what we have. Amen? Glory to God. And so I'm so grateful that at this time of the year, Brother and Sister Littles have made their way from Texas. It's not easy. There's transfers, and he found out that it's colder here than in Texas. Amen. I picked up the Littles this morning, and I didn't even recognize Sister Little because she had scarves all around her head, and amen. So would you welcome Brother Littles to this pulpit?
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. Aren't you thankful it's always warm in God's presence? Amen. Amen. What an honor it is to be here with all of you this Christmas season. Truly one of my favorite times of the year, particularly when I have an opportunity to talk about the one who came at Christmas. Amen. And to be with Brother and Sister Schumacher this weekend again is certainly an honor for Sherry and for me, and we don't take that lightly at all. Amen. Isn't God good? Is everyone all ready for Christmas? Yeah, we were flying out of Dallas yesterday, and yes, it was 55 degrees or something like that. We were flying out of Dallas, and I asked the lady who was checking my ID and my boarding pass, I asked her, are you all ready for Christmas? She says, yeah, all my shopping's always done by Thanksgiving. So I said, I guess you're really enjoying it now. Yeah, she says she's just enjoying it. We're in the house this morning getting ready for Christmas and enjoying the wonder. Can you look through a child's eye again and have the wonder of the coming of Jesus Christ? Lord, we are delighted this day that in this season we can celebrate the wonder of your nearness, the wonder of the gift of life, the wonder, Lord, that you have come to dwell among us. You are Emmanuel today, God among us, and how exciting we are to know and to hear your voice in this season. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 1, Luke chapter 1, verse 67. This morning I would like to preach on getting ready for Christmas. I'll talk about four gifts this morning. Tonight, Lord willing, I'll talk about the fifth gift. That is, if the sermon finishes itself by 6 o'clock. If not, it'll be something else. But right now I think it'll be the fifth gift that we'll talk about tonight. This morning we're going to talk about four gifts. Getting ready for Christmas. Getting ready for Christmas. Luke chapter 1, verses 67 and following. This is Zacharias finally getting a chance to speak after 10 months of silence. First words were his new son's name, and then these are the next words. 10 months. He had to finish up his month of duty at the temple, then went home to be with Elizabeth, and they found out that they were with child shortly thereafter. So this is 10 months of silence. His father, Zacharias, was filled with the Holy Ghost. That one God is represented in the Holy Spirit. He was in the Old Testament, he's in the New Testament, and he's here right now. Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us and the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all of those who hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. That covenant is the oath which he sware to our father Abraham, that he, God, would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him. Ain't scared. We might serve him with no fear. We might serve him with no fear. How? In holiness and righteousness before him. How long? All the days of our life. And then, holding that child in his hand, he says, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest, for you will go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways." Here's your message, son, he says, "to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." And the child grew and waxed strong in the spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of his showing unto Israel. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that that same Holy Spirit and spirit of prophecy is in the room right now. We thank you that that which was there with Zacharias as he held his baby is here right now in the house. And those who are able to open their hearts to hear your words, which are falling even now among us, we can receive that Holy Spirit and word of prophecy for our day today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, "It's almost Christmas." Amen. You may be seated. I have one of my two Christmas bow ties this morning. This one has a name. It's called Candy Cane. If you can't see it from that far away, it has red and green squares. So this is about as Christmas as I get in my decorations. It's the bow tie. Getting ready for Christmas is always fun. After Thanksgiving, they call it Black Friday. It's amazing me, Black Friday now takes 6 weeks. 6 weeks of Friday. I don't understand how that happens, but somehow the marketers have found a way to stretch Friday into 6 to 6 weeks. We get ready for gifts and guests and travel and food and food and food and food and food. And then after that's done, we have dinners and dinners and dinners. We decorate the house. We decorate our office. Some people put wreaths on the front of their cars and noses, red noses on the front of their automobiles, and reindeer horns hanging out their windows. Our music changes. The ads change. All of this to help us get into a Christmas spirit. And of course, kids look forward to having days off from school, as do their teachers. Parents, by the end of those 2 weeks, can't wait for school to be back in service again. But getting ready for Christmas is such an exciting time. Sherry and I in the hotel this morning on the way to the restaurant, they had a pretty little tree lit up there. It was rotating, and you could see its shades of blue and sparkles, and underneath were Christmas presents. And evidently, there's still a four-year-old trapped inside of this ancient carcass, because that four-year-old told my princess, says, "I wonder if one of those presents are for me." Somehow she restrained me from going and looking, because I was ready to go check and see if someone had left a present for me under that tree. I mean, it could be. If it's a present, it has to be for somebody. Getting ready for Christmas is so much delight and so much fun. I hope that you don't see it as work. I hope that you don't see Christmas shopping as something to rush through, and wrapping as a chore, and baking as something, "I'll be glad when this is over." I hear some people talk like that by the end of December. "I'll just be glad when the holidays are over." They didn't get ready for Christmas the right way. So this morning, I want to talk about getting ready for Christmas by using this beautiful song of Zacharias. If this were a lecture on Zacharias' song, I would spend about 45 minutes on the structure of the song. That's how beautiful the structure of the song is. So I will forego that lecture because there are only 10 of you that would enjoy that. So I will skip that lecture and just get into the various elements that are in this beautiful song of Zacharias. Gift number one, getting ready for Christmas, gift number one, unwrapping gift number one is worship. The best way to get ready for Christmas is to worship. Zacharias, what does he do after not being able to talk for 10 months? He doesn't think about the times his wife argued with him and he couldn't argue back. You know that Elizabeth capitalized on that opportunity more than once. I have your attention and you can't get mine. So here's all the things I've been wanting to say. And you can't. He doesn't take the moment of an unleashed tongue to catch up and say, well, that argument in April and that argument in May, here are the answers I've now got. No, the first thing he does when his tongue is released after naming his child, his tongue is released, the first thing he does is says, blessed be the God, Lord God of Israel. What would happen if we each morning when we awoke, not being able to speak for 8 hours, what would happen if all of us in the morning, the first thing that would erupt out of our mouth is, whoa, isn't God good? Isn't he wonderful? Now, we used to have testimony services back in the day. Some of you remember that. And we used to have some dear sisters in the church, their testimonies were always exactly the same. Thank God he got me up this morning. And he kept me on my way. And he's been so good to me. And then the sister sits down. And sometimes we hear that and say, I wish you'd get a different testimony. Now, brothers and sisters, that's a good one. He got me up this morning. He started me on my way with purpose and design. And whoo, isn't my God good today? You want to get ready for Christmas, bake some more cookies and perhaps put some presents under the tree. But I encourage you every morning between now and Christmas, let the first eruption out of your mouth be, wow, isn't God good today? That's so much better than where's the coffee. And don't open those curtains. What party do we have to go to tonight? Let the first words out of your mouth every single day from now till Christmas be, wow, my God is good. And I wonder how good he's going to be throughout this day. You see, when he began to worship, it has memory. Worship is aimed at God, but it's born out of our memories. The longer you have served him, you got more to worship him for. I know that first moment when you're baptized in his name. Anybody remember? First moment when you're baptized in his name, trees look greener than before. Anybody? That's my memory. I remember stepping out of that church at my advanced age of 6 minus 1 week. I remember stepping outside the church door and looking at the tree. I could see every single leaf in the tree. The trees were prettier than ever before. When I pastored a church in Western New York, if I was baptizing ladies, my wife would have to be there next to me because I did not need to get her first hug coming out of the water. My wife had to catch that hug for me. But I knew that people coming out of the water, they got to do something. Because all of a sudden, God is, woo, isn't God good up in here right now? But the longer you serve him, the more you got to back it up. Not only did he take my sins away, but he has never left me and he has never forsaken me. I've learned to hear his voice more distinctly than I have ever heard it before. I've learned to be quiet. And wait. Early in our walk with him, we get impatient to hear his voice. The longer you walk with him and the better he has been, you learn that it's all right to be quiet if you're tuned. Not be quiet doing games on your phone, but being quiet tuned to his voice. Zechariah's 10 months of silence has to bless the Lord, not just his personal experience, but the experiences of all of his people. This God that visited us and redeemed his people. He had redeemed Israel out of Egypt land, and he had redeemed Israel out of Babylonian Persian captivity. He had come to that chicken-livered, yelly-backed Gideon by the winepress thrashing wheat, and he said, "Oh, thou mighty man of valor." God has a sense of humor. Because you see, God can take those who are most afraid, and if they'll learn to trust in his word, he can take those who have no strength and learn to trust in his word. He can take those who are exhausted by the battle and can be refreshed in a moment if you just trust in his word. Perhaps everyone else has argued that he's gone and he's not faithful anymore, but you know better. But the battle gets exhausting from time to time. But this morning, getting ready for Christmas, just trust in his name one more time. He is still a redeeming God, and he is still a visiting God. And Gideon, through his 300 men of valor, chased out the Midians with their lamp and a shattered pitcher, and the sound of a trumpet. God uses the strangest of implements, like a baby in a tomb, in a borrowed manger. He later has to borrow a tomb, sorry. Like a baby in a borrowed tomb, he uses the strangest of implements to restore us. You see, worship recenters us on God's plan. Sometimes I come to church and I'll confess, it's all about me. I worked hard to get here, and I worked all day, and God should be so honored. But as tired as I was, I came to church anyway. There's no one in Wisconsin that ever thinks that way. But there are times I come to church and it's about me. I wonder what God's going to do for me tonight. Amen. I wonder what I'm going to get out of the service. When we start hearing someone say, "Wow, isn't God good today?" all of a sudden it snaps us to reality. Snaps us into what's really going on. We come here and he is the center of these things. Our worship reorders us around him. It doesn't bring God into our life. It brings us into his life. It doesn't order God to fit my day. It orders my day to fit God's timing. It doesn't change God's mind to be focused on me. It focused my mind on how great thou art, O Lord, and how holy is thy name above the heavens. And there is no God like my God, and he is worthy of all praise, and he is worthy of all exaltation. That one who held the baby Jesus in his arms said, "Wow, I have experienced it all now. There's nothing else to know." And the lady who had served 80 years, she proclaimed, "I'm leaving this house and to talk about Jesus." That's what worship does. It recenters us around God's plan. Zechariah says, this God raised a horn of salvation. Now, this horn of salvation isn't a trumpet of brass or silver. It's frankly, the business end of an angry bull. Have you ever wondered why some people are so mentally challenged that they run in front of bulls in Spain? All I can say is the gene pool must have got very thin for some people. I mean, you got 1,500 pounds of anger with two spears. Well, I guess running is better than just laying down. But don't be there in the first place. That's it, if my mama said it was okay to say that word. I do sometimes anyway. And yeah, I kind of think it's mentally challenging. That's what he says. Our God has raised up a horn of salvation. There's a powerful one who has strengthened every muscle and strengthened every sinew, and he is armed to chase away everything that blocks your path between where you are and God's purposes for you. Brothers and sisters, I want you to know in our worship today, we are saying there's a horn of salvation in the house. He's clearing the path in front of us. One of the things I don't like about living in the South, even as far south as St. Louis, much less Texas, is that when there is snow, the people who drive the plows have no idea what they're doing. No idea whatsoever. They think they can just plow from one street and clog the next street in the intersection. And when the snow starts melting a little bit, you have this huge ridge, and then you have another 10 feet of pavement that should have been cleared had the fellow known how to plow. You need to understand this morning, my God knows how to plow everything out of the way in front of you. Now, you don't get to choose the path, but all you got to do through worshiping him is say, Lord, you're the horn of my salvation. Just clear the way. The obstacles in front of me seem so big. The challenge in front of me seems like maybe some other person of faith could do it, but I can't do it. Forget that. When you start worshiping him, you have to realize, no, you can do what God has purposed for your life because he is the horn of salvation. And he is pushing everything out of your way. Everything out of your way. This horn of salvation. And out of the house of David, this promise that was there for Israel, that out of David's house there would be a Messiah that's coming. And Zacharias, in his first chance to speak, the Holy Spirit moves in his gift of prophecy and saying, Messiah is almost here. It's Christmas, Messiah is almost here. My question is what are you going to let him be Messiah over? Excuse the English. What are you going to let him be Messiah over in 2019? Is he going to be the Messiah over all things or just over your soul? Now, I thank him for being Messiah over my soul. I thank him that by his blood, my sins are washed away. But he wants to be Messiah over everything. He wants to be Messiah over your family. He wants to be Messiah at your workplace. He wants to be Messiah in your neighborhood. He wants to be Messiah over your finances. He wants to be Messiah in your mind, in your emotions, and in your spirit. He wants to be Messiah over your tongue and Messiah over your Facebook page. He wants to be Messiah over absolutely everything. So I'm wondering, would you get ready for Christmas with me this year and say, the Lord has raised up a Messiah among us, and we have never seen a year like 2019, what he is preparing, because Messiah is coming. Messiah is near. Remember those promises. He would say, Zechariah says, remember those promises from the very beginning of the world, holy prophets of old, the beginning of God's planning and God's timing. We would take our annual pilgrimage from upstate New York back to southern Missouri for Christmas every year. This is back when the speed limit was 55. Anybody remember? Now, gas was 76 cents. But the speed limit was 55. I'd actually rather pay $1.90 and go 70 than pay 75 and go 55. Just at least for 12-year-old kids sitting in the back seat with three brothers, 55 miles an hour for 1,000 miles Cities have fallen quicker than that. Brothers and sisters, God's timing is different than our timing. He has already brought Messiah to neighborhoods in Racine that have not yet felt the Spirit. In the Messiah's mind, it's already there. In the Messiah's mind, it's already His will that you have two services on Sunday morning because you can't get them all here in one service. In the Messiah's mind, there's dimensions of the Spirit that have already happened in your community, and we're not there yet. But this is Christmas, and I'm getting ready for whatever Messiah wants to do, and I'm getting ready by worshiping Him. From the foundation of the world, it's been His plan. Been His plan from the foundation of the world to save us from our enemies, anyone who prevents God's will and God's purposes. His mercy is made real. It's made alive. It's made vibrant at this time of the season. Verse 72, to perform the mercies as He has promised Him. And in this covenant, it's His covenant, His plan, that through Abraham's family, all nations would be blessed. Here's a key to your worship, gift number one this season. Your worship goes beyond what you understand it to be. Okay, a couple years ago, I preached a sermon on getting ready for Easter and talked about Mary and doing what she had always done before and taking that alabaster box and breaking it over Jesus. She planned for the alabaster box, but she really hadn't planned letting down her hair, and she really hadn't planned weeping. She really hadn't planned the dimensions that followed her initial plan. But if you'll start out every day with an initial plan to worship Him, your worship's going to go beyond what you had in mind. Your worship says He's Lord, but you don't know how true that is. Your worship says He rules, but you don't know how true that is. The worship says all power is in His hands, but I don't know how true that is. Zacharias says He's going to bless us, His people. Zacharias didn't know that His people would include all the Gentiles as well. Zacharias didn't know how far the hand of God would go to redeem humanity, because you see, worship starts where we are, but worship calls us beyond our current understanding. So you want to get ready for Christmas while you're finding the perfect size box? While you're clicking on Amazon.com and make sure you have your billing address separated from the shipping address so you don't have to ship twice. As you're doing all those things and getting it all right, would you remember to open the first gift of the morning? Lord, I worship You with this day. I worship You with this day. The second gift that we see here in Zacharias' song is the gift of identity transformation. The gift of identity transformation. You see, when you worship Him, that changes the worshiper. Worship doesn't change God. He is God, and He changes not. Jesus was the same, is the same yesterday, today, forever. Worship doesn't change God. Worship doesn't really get God's attention. Cross reminds us that we are always on His mind. The question is He on our mind? He is always drawing us. No one comes to the Father except He be drawn. You didn't choose Me. I have chosen you. And John 15 says, I have ordained you to bear fruit. So worship doesn't get God's attention. Worship gets our attention on God. Sometimes it feels like it gets God's attention because we think He lost our address. We think God's iCloud account got full and He had refused to pay the 99 cents to bump it up to unlimited status. We moved. He couldn't update His address book. No, He not only lives in the clouds, but He lives in us. He knows where you are. Worship doesn't get God's attention. It reminds you It reminds you that you have always been on God's mind, and that begins to transform our identity. So as you're laying in the bed and you got finished saying, "Whoa, isn't God wonderful?" The next thing is to remember that worship and covenant with God transforms our identity. It changes us as a holy people. Zacharias says we can serve him without fear. Ain't scared. Anxiety can be gone. James, 1 Peter chapter 5 puts it this way: you can cast all of your cares, your anxiety, your fear on him because he cares for you. That's linked to humility. By walking in humility, it gives us the license. You have to have a license to cast your anxiety on him, and that license comes with surrender and humility. Some people keep trying to cast their anxieties on Jesus and it bounces back. It's because they don't have the license to cast their care. Scripture tells us he gives grace to the humble and he resists. Right? I didn't make that up. That's in the book. A little bit older than me. A whole lot smarter than me. So if I try to cast my anxiety on him when I'm walking in pride, he puts a trampoline up, lets my anxieties bounce back quicker than before. It's like the little boy that gets that BB gun for Christmas, throws away all the instructions and the warnings, and goes out and shoots it at a steel pole and wonders why the BB came back and hit him in the chin. Okay? Because you don't hit something if it can bounce back. When you throw your anxieties on God and you're walking in pride, he loves you so much that he resists you. And he lets your anxiety come back and hit you smack in the head. When you're walking in pride and saying, "I'm better than someone else," walking in pride and say, "I finally achieved status with God on my own, I'm going to throw my anxieties on him," he sends them right back to you with more velocity than you threw them in the first place. And that's because he loves you. And it truly did hurt him more than it hurt you. My mama always told me that. I still don't believe her. Because she knew how to lay a licking on a feller with a shoe, Hot Wheel track, wooden spoon, hairbrush, stuff that'll get you put in jail for child abuse now. It truly hurt Jesus more than it hurts me, because he went to the cross taking all my sorrow, all my pain, all my shame, and yours too, hung there so that he could resist me in my proud spirit with an effort to bring me to humility. But when we come to him as humble before him, "Lord, you brought me to you. I didn't earn status with you. My prayer life didn't make me better. You made me better. My prayer life just tuned me in to what you were already wanting to do." Amen. It's like someone racing a NASCAR. Drafting is legal. You get behind somebody else and let them break all the forces in front of you. You just get in behind and you save some fuel for that last lap so you can lay on the gas while they're going and filling up, and you zip on by. You got two more laps in you because you got behind the one breaking the forces in front. Brothers and sisters, prayer puts me right behind Jesus's plan, right behind Jesus's initiative. I don't earn anything. I just get right in behind, and I'm drafting behind him. I'm getting pulled along to his purpose and his design. Worship gives me this second gift. It changes, transforms my identity. I can now serve him and serve him without fear. I can serve him in holiness. Holiness, that's like Jesus. Being like Jesus, having the mind of Christ, Philippians 2. Coming as a servant instead of serving ourselves, like Jesus, and in righteousness, that is justice towards humanity. Calls us to be holy towards God and calls us to be just and caring towards humanity, and we can do it every single day. Not just on Thanksgiving Day when we're thinking about people who don't have much, or not just on certain days when we have the day off and we can go labor for someone else, but it tunes our eyes to the world around us as we walk as holy men and women, not consumed with lasciviousness of this world, not consumed for a lust for power or a lust for authority or a lust for finances or a lust for fame or a lust for somebody else. Else's spouse or somebody else's house. We put all those things away in holiness. We've taken on Christ, which frees us to walk into a world and love people in the name of Jesus. How beautiful is the way of holiness. And this Christmas, as you're getting ready for the birth of Christ, worship Him, change who you are, change yourself by the power of grace. He's doing the changing. You're just putting yourself in His hand so that all the days of your life you can walk in holiness and you can walk in righteousness, and we can live out the prophetic call. The prophetic call, He says, "And thou, child, shall be called a prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord and prepare His ways." Jesus called this child John the greatest of all the prophets, right? Greater than Moses, greater than Elijah, greater than Elisha, greater than Isaiah, Jeremiah, the greatest of all. And then He says, but the least in the kingdom. Now this one's greater than Moses and Elijah and Elisha, Jeremiah and Isaiah, Hosea and Amos, Zechariah and Malachi, all the rest. Greater than all of those. Then He looks at the room here this morning in Racine, Wisconsin, and says, the one with the least spiritual giftings in this room surpasses, eclipses what John Baptist did. Brothers and sisters, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready for something to well up inside of you and say, Lord, I don't have a lot in my hand, but what I have in my hand, I give it to You, O Lord. I give it to You, and You have invested in this church spiritual giftings to transform a world. John Baptist even had the Roman soldiers coming to his baptismal services. These weren't Jewish soldiers. These are Roman soldiers coming to his baptismal service. So what do we have to do? And John says, well, just serve justly. Don't make people carry your stuff 2 miles when the law says only make them carry it one. Bring the evidence that you're walking right. He even had the attention of the Roman soldiers, the most elite fighting force in the world. What would happen, brothers and sisters, if this Christmas the Lord would instill a spirit beyond John the Baptist in every single one of us in this room? We wouldn't look at any wall. We wouldn't look at any sword. We wouldn't look at any drug den. We wouldn't look at any mansion and say, the presence of God can't go there. Instead, we would be tuned to the Spirit and say, Lord, is this the time that I speak in this place and love in this place and see Your will done here? Because, brothers and sisters, in this room, the least is greater than John Baptist. He has called us into the world, sent us into the world, called us to go, He says, to prepare. Go therefore. He's talking to this baby in His hand. Can't even focus on his daddy yet. You know, eyes. His greatest achievement at this point is knowing when it is to suckle. That's his only responsibility. But the dad sees in the child, says, you're going to go from this place. This may be your first time here, but you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit that I'm talking about. You may not know too much about Jesus, but you'll have enough to go out these doors and to tell someone else, Jesus is good to me, and I think He wants to be good to you. Brothers and sisters, that's all you got to know to be able to tell somebody about Jesus. You just got to be able to honestly say, He's been so good to me, and I think He wants to be good to you as well.
Yeah, for the littles, I don't understand what the seventh horn means or the third vial. I don't know. Don't worry about it.
I don't understand whether Arminius or Calvin is right on this point. Neither do they. Forget about it. You see, people that want to argue those points are building walls. So don't argue back. Just keep saying, my Jesus is good. And we're walking in that one good Savior. And he wants to be your good Savior today. And I know you have a lot of questions, and I have a lot of questions. But here's the only question. Do you know that Jesus is good for you and good for the world? Would you surrender to him this day, this Christmas, getting ready for Christmas Day? Will you let your identity be transformed? Would you recognize that in you and in this body, in you and in this body, Christmas reflects God's saving work to Racine, Wisconsin, to your state, to Midwest, to our nation, and to the world. That's what Christmas reflects. And if you'll start every morning opening up the first gift, wow, I'll worship him. Open the second gift, that changes me. That gets you ready for the third gift. It is of living on that mission, verse 77. To give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Notice it's already his people, but they don't even know about salvation. His people, but they don't have an experience of salvation. For this knowledge is not a cognitive process. It's more of an affective or emotional process that you truly know what it is to be saved. Do you know this day that your name is in the book? Do you know this day that if you've been baptized in his name and you're filled with the Spirit and you're seeking to do his will, your name is in the book? Do you truly know that? If there's anyone in the room that doesn't know that, you just know it. But there are moments that you're afraid, then this Sunday is for you. So that the rest of your ways to Christmas, you're walking prepared with a knowledge of who Jesus is in here, and then ready to give an answer to that around you. You recognize that you've been given the knowledge of salvation. You've been given the knowledge of salvation internally. You've been given the knowledge of salvation by remission of sins. And we know that sins are remitted how? In baptism in his name. It's amazing to me. Zacharias had an awareness of Acts 2 before Peter had an awareness of Acts 2. Peter probably wasn't even born yet when this song was sung. But a prophetic word came to a man that hadn't talked for 10 months. And he says, remission of sins is coming to the people. And John, you're going to open the door for remission of sin. Brothers and sisters, we are sent into the world on a mission. Living on a mission that we can take remission of sin to the world. I'm a little wearied by the angers in the media. I'm a little wearied by the anger in social media. I'm a little wearied by the anger on the radio of people fighting about things and this and that and quarreling about who's better than the other and forgetting that they can make a difference and do something to make someone's life better. Well, we can lead that charge. Don't ask government to lead the charge. Don't ask political parties to lead the charge. You become the one with that voice crying in the wilderness of no hope. Come and follow me. I found one who told me everything about my life. Come follow me. I want to show you to Jesus. It's through the tender mercies of the Lord, he says in verse 78, the tender mercies of the Lord whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. This day spring, you can't tell from the original language because it means either the root or a star. It's either the root or the star. I kind of think that it was left ambiguous on purpose because he is both the root out of Jesse and he is the bright and morning star. He is your Alpha and He is your Omega. He is your foundation and He is your capstone. That's this one, Jesus. And tender mercies of our God are here and visiting us as a root and as a star. It gives us strength as engrafted people, and it gives us a star to follow, brought together in Christ Jesus, wondrously so that we can give light to those, verse number 79, we can give light to those that sit in darkness. Not only darkness, but there's a dark darkness called the shadow of death. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians, O death, na-na-na-na-na-na, somebody stole your stinger while you weren't looking. Oh, grave? You're going to have to get better locks than that, because there's nothing that could keep my Jesus in the tomb, and there's nothing that's going to hold this body down. There's nothing that can stop us. We in this room today, we do not walk in darkness. We have seen the light. And we do not walk in the shadow of death, because the everlasting one has brought light to us and life to us. And because of that, we can share that with the world. I'm wondering if this Christmas, as we're getting ready for the cookies, I can smell the gingerbread men now. If you're making me one, I like them a little soft, not crunchy. Opposite of my peanut butter. Peanut butter crunchy, gingerbread men soft and chewy. Just in case anyone's making gingerbread men this afternoon. And just in case one of them has a bow tie on it. A little soft, not crunchy. As you're getting ready for Christmas, wonder if you can open up gift one. Oh, Lord, I magnify you this day. Wonder if you can open up gift two. Lord, you transform my identity. Wonder if you can open up gift three as you're rolling out gingerbread men. And that works better on a cold surface, by the way, just in case you were wondering. Rolling them out on your marble kitchen countertop. I wonder if you can open up that third gift, Lord. You have got me on a mission, sending me into the world. Fourth gift you're going to open at that moment every single day of this Christmas season. You're going to worship Him, change your identity, recognize you got a mission. And verse number 80, the child grew, waxed strong. Where? How? In the Spirit, and was in the deserts till the day of His showing unto Israel. Gift number four, go in the Spirit. Every time you go through a door this Christmas season, say, I go through this door in the power of the Spirit. In case you need a little more milk for those gingerbread cookies, a little soft, colder surface, please. If you got to go to the store, pick up another gallon of milk. You may think it's because you didn't buy a gallon yesterday, but maybe this one that we're worshiping right now has somebody on the milk aisle that needs to see your godly smile and give them a word of encouragement. You're not really going there for milk. You're going there to be a light into the world. So as you open up the door, say, Lord, I go through this door in the unction of the Spirit. As you get into your automobile, open the door, get in, close the door. Say, I'm getting in this door in the unction of the Spirit. When you get to your destination, I get out of this door in the unction of the Spirit. Order my steps this Christmas in the unction of your Spirit every single day. Oh, Lord, because I want to see what you want to do this Christmas season. The child grew and waxed strong in the Spirit. What would happen, Pastor Schumacher, if we could just grow in the Spirit this Christmas season? I don't know what you got on your wish list, your Amazon Prime wish list. I don't know what your family is getting for you. Don't know if it's a new pocket watch or hair comb. O. Henry reference there in case anyone was wondering. Don't know what you're wondering and wanting for Christmas, but I'm wondering if you could just jump this right to the top. I want a dimension in the spirit. Could you pop that to the top of your list? Lord, I anticipate some more paper and anticipate a pen and ink. But Lord, I will be satisfied this Christmas if I learn to walk through doors in an unction of the Spirit. Then this would have been the best Christmas I've ever had in my life. Would some Christmas preparers stand with me now? Zacharias' words to his baby boy. You remember Zacharias is an elder by now. Most people think Zacharias didn't live to see John grow up. But this elder told his boy, and somebody repeated it in John's ear. He says, son, there's going to be some desert places. But don't you give up in the desert days. Son, I won't be there like most boys have a daddy. But don't you give up. Because God has his hand on you. This day is going to come for which you were prepared. Racine Church. Somebody's been through a desert season. I'm here this morning to let you know. Time's up. It's the day of showing. It's the day for the city to know the glory of an almighty God. Time's up. You've been worried about your health. You've been worried about your finances. You've been worried about your babies. You've been worried about your ministry. You've been worried about prayer and seeing no result. Time's up this Christmas. Does anyone want to come and worship him? Does anyone want to come and have an identity transformation? Anyone want to come accepting a mission? And oh, is there anyone ready to go in the power of the Holy Spirit? Oh, Lord. What little I know about Christmas excites me. What I feel right now in the Holy Ghost. As we worship you with a hungry desire, I'm seeing more of Christmas come alive right now. Prepare us as a people for Christmas, O Lord. Tune our worship ears. Tune our worship hunger. Would you change me this Christmas, Jesus? Would you root out a root of bitterness? Would you pull out some kind of pride? Would you pull out lust for the things of this world? Change my identity. Lord, would you send us as greater than John? Lord, would you fill us with your spirit?